is one misconception that could be removed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu dkhulu fis silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter Islam totally. Totally means that you are not Muslims only in the mosque only. You are Muslims when you are in the market, you are when you are trading, when you are buying something, when you are selling something. Even in those times, you are also Muslim, and Muslim means that has one who has submitted oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. So, this is one misconception that should be removed. Second misconception is that when we speak of Islamic rules of business or Islamic rules of finance or principles of finance, some people think that these principles and rules are peculiar or restricted to the Muslims only. And therefore, non-Muslims have nothing to do with that. They feel that when we stress upon or emphasize Islamic rules and principles, we are doing so only because we are Muslims and we have to follow our religion. And therefore, we have to follow these principles and rules. This is not correct. In fact, the rules and principles that have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not meant not only for the Muslims, but for the betterment of humanity at large. So these are not for the benefit of Muslims only. These are for the benefit of the entire humanity. Because these are the principles and rules that if followed correctly, in letter and spirit, they bring betterment of life for all the people of the world, Muslims or non-Muslims. Just as I will explain a little later. So this is not correct that Islamic rules and principles are considered to be a part of the religion that are meant only for the followers of that religion only. You see that we have experienced two types of economic systems, capitalist economy and socialist economy. They are contradicting each other, but they have their own principles. Capitalism has its own principles. Socialism has its own principles. And they have their own philosophy. And on the basis of those philosophies, they have formulated their economies accordingly. Although socialism has, almost failed practically during last some decades, but from theoretical point of view, it still exists, and there are voices in those countries that have left socialism that the socialism should be revived again. So they have their own philosophy, they have their own principles. Likewise, Islam has its own philosophy, it has its own principles, and those principles are meant for a just, fair and pleasant economy to be availed of by the humanity at large. So therefore, if we demand that Islamic principles and rules should be applied in our commercial life, it does not mean that we are compelling people to embrace Islam. No. We are saying that if these principles and rules are applied, you will be much, much better than you are today. For example, an equitable distribution of wealth. It is a just cause for which every person, every human being should strive, that the wealth of the people must be distributed on equitable basis, and it should not be the case that the rich people only take advantage of the production of the economy, and the poor people suffer from their misery for all times to come. So therefore, when we say the Islamic rules and Islamic principles, we are not saying that by applying these principles, the world become Muslims and we are compelling the people to be Muslims. We are saying that these are the basic principles. If you apply them, you will be much better than you are today in distribution of wealth, in a sustainable economy, in a equitable economy, to form an equitable economy. So to form an equitable economy is not to compel someone to embrace a particular religion. However, Islam, embracing Islam, we invite to embrace Islam, we invite to people to Islam, but on the basis of some arguments, on the basis of some proofs. But so far as implementing Islamic economy is concerned, it is a part of that, and it cannot be taken as compelling people to embrace Islam. And that is why, as my brother has just pointed out, all of you know that the world has been passing through an unparalleled financial crisis in the world. It is much grave crisis than it was in 1929. So it was a great crisis that the whole entire world has faced. And when the people who want to know the causes of this crisis and to seek solutions to avoid this crisis, they did not restrict themselves to their own ideas. They sought guidance from some Muslims also, and the chairman of World Economic Forum in Davos, he has written a letter to me, and in which he stated that the world is passing through a worst financial crisis, and we want to know what Islamic principles guide the humanity about them. And therefore, you please explain to us how Islamic principles will be helpful to solve this problem, these problems. So it does not mean that he invited us only to explain these principles only for the Muslims. No, they have invited us to explain these principles for the betterment of humanity at large. And they say, in that very letter, the chairman of World Economic Forum wrote to me that we have to change ourselves, where we have no option, but we have to change ourselves, or we should be prepared to an unending misery that cannot end. So therefore, you give us some principles that may help us to relieve ourselves from this financial crisis. In answer to that, I wrote a detailed article on the subject, and that subject was introduced by the World Economic Forum. I attended the forum, although I am not very much eager to attend world conferences. But keeping in view the importance of the subject, I went there, and the article was introduced and launched. They printed it and launched it in a press conference which was where all the Western media was there. And then they have put this article on their own website. So, therefore, my point is that this is not, some people are afraid that being like the Islamic rules and Islamic principles, some people became afraid that by this way they are, you know, compelling us to Islam, towards Islam. That is not true. And this is, call it Islamic or call it by some other name. These are some principles that if implied or if applied to our economic activities, inshallah, they will bring their fruits. Now, what are those rules and principles? Let me give you a brief idea of those principles and rules that have been given to us by the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One basic principle that is derived from the Holy Quran is that kaila yakuna dulatan bainal aghniya'i minkum, and the wealth of the people must not rotate or revolve only among the rich people. It must reach to those who are, you know, of lower level in their wealth. So this is one of the basic issues, one of the basic principles enshrined by the Holy Quran itself. And you know, to bring this principle into practice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some rules and some prohibitions, that if you indulge yourself in this activity, then it will end in bringing misery to the poor people, and therefore this is not allowed to you. And generally, in capitalist theory, if you have studied the capitalist theory, they say that the policy of making profits, market economy works on the basis of profit motive, that every economic activity must be based on profit motive, and every person is free to earn profit by whatever means he wants. And also, they have that if two persons are consenting with each other on a particular transaction, that transaction is valid. It says that whatever transaction is based on mutual consent of the parties is allowed. And therefore, they allow interest, they allow gambling, they allow speculative transactions. All these transactions have been allowed on the basis of the consent of the party. Because if they are consenting to each other, no other authority is allowed to interfere with them. In Urdu, we are saying that Mia Bibi Razi, to kya karega Qazi? Yani if the people are consenting with each other, there is no one to interfere with their freedom. But Islam says that merely consent of the parties does not give validity to a transaction. If two people consent with each other on a transaction that is harmful to the society, then that transaction cannot be allowed in Sharia. And that is why interest has been prohibited. That is why gambling is prohibited. That is why speculative transactions have been prohibited. So, let me give you a brief, very brief account of the reserve, that rate of the prohibition of interest. Interest, sometimes it is called that interest in the days of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was the poor people who used to borrow money from others, and therefore it was cruelty with those poor people to charge them some amount over and above their principal, and therefore it was prohibited. But now in our banking system, we have very rich people who borrow money from the banks, and then they earn huge profits. So if the bank charge them an amount of interest, so why it has been prohibited? Why it has been, taken as haram or as illegal? So this is an argument that is raised many a times on different forums. So before I give you a serious answer to this, let me give you a joke. My father, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, used to tell us a joke that there was an Indian singer who went for Hajj to Makkah and Medina. So after performing Hajj, he was traveling to Medina, and on his way to Medina, he has to stop somewhere in a caravanserai, in a little village. So after having meals, there came an Arab singer, and Arab musician and singer. After having meals, he started playing music, Arabic music, and started singing Arabic songs. But his voice and music was so awkward that the Indian singer said that Qurban jaye Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam par. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind to us, that he has listened to these Arab singers and therefore he has prohibited music for us. Had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to my music and my song, he would have never prohibited that thing. So this is the kind of argument that is sometimes advanced in favor of interest and gambling, etc. In fact, the consumption loans, interest charge on consumption loans, could not bring such a big horror that this interest, banking interest, has brought to the whole humanity. You know that it is only a very tiny percentage of the people that borrow money from banks. Once I brought these statistics, it transpired to me in my country, in Pakistan, that 0.001% of the whole population, they borrow money from the banks. The people deposit their money into the bank. All the money of the society is deposited with the banks. And then only 0.001% of the people take that money to their benefit. They use it for their benefit. And then they earn huge profits. And out of those profits, they give only a very small percentage of interest to the bank, and through the bank to the depositors. And that small proportion does not often match the rate of inflation. And which means that in real terms, they are giving nothing to the people. All the profit goes to them. And they are not giving to the general people anything as a profit. Because whatever they pay to the bank as interest, that interest is included in the cost of their production. So whenever the goods are priced, the rate of interest is included in the prices. Which means that a common people, when he put 100 rupees, for example, in a bank, and he got 106 or 107, he is happy that I have earned 7 rupees of my over my 100 investment. But in fact, when he will go to the market and will purchase the bread and butter, he will pay back whatever he has earned from the bank. Because the bread and the butter and everything has an element of the interest paid to the bank, which the industry is claiming from general public. So therefore, if there is a profit, all the profits goes to the to this 0.01% of the people. If there is a loss means bankruptcy of the bank, then all the loss will be borne by the common people. This is one aspect of this banking interest today. Second aspect is that interest means that you are trading in money itself. While Islamic principle is that money is nothing, is not a commodity to be traded in. Money is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only as a medium of exchange. Only as a medium of exchange. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, some 600 years ago, has discussed this, the nature of money, and has said that this is only created for working as a medium of exchange. And therefore money is not a commodity which could be traded in. But now, this interest-based system has taken money as a commodity which is traded on daily basis. And because of this trade, what happened? When this money started to be traded in, it has created another creature. That is, the money created by the banks. Those who have studied economics know the fact that banks create artificial money. That is present only in the digits of the computer. Otherwise, on the real ground, there is no money. 100 rupees is multiplied to 1,000 without having any basis for that. So this is something that has been brought by fractional reserve system, that some money has been created by the banks by presumptions, by assumptions only, not in real terms. Then after that, perhaps you are aware that there is a big market, huge market of derivatives, that options, futures, swaps, all these markets are present in our financial system today, and they have reached the worth. These transactions have nothing behind them. No commodity, no real money, no anything. It is just calculations and assumptions. And these calculations, assumptions multiply themselves so much so that the worth of derivatives that are in use today is 8 times more than the entire GDP of the whole world. Entire GDP of the whole world, not only of one country, of the whole world. 8 times more. And one economist has calculated that the worth of these derivatives has reached to the extent that if you place every dollar to dollar in this way, then the line of the dollar will rotate against the sun. You know, against the sun 100 times or more than 100 times. This is the worth of derivatives which have no money at all. And that is why that this financial crisis started. Let me give you a brief of how this crisis started. The crisis started in a way that in United States of America, there was a boom in home financing. People started to borrow money and purchase the houses, and then sold it in the market again, and then borrowed again, and a circle of borrowings was present for this type of borrowing. And when the people, the banks felt that this is a very profitable business, they started competing with each other, and subprime loans, came into existence. And therefore, but thereafter, how they finance more and more seekers of home financing, they packed it, they sold these debt obligations to other companies. Those companies, after having they packaged it in a document that was sold again and again and again and again. But once the prices of houses went down, the whole pyramid that was built on the basis of those debts fell down again, was demolished. And the banks started, the banks stopped financing the projects. They stopped giving the loans. And those companies which were dependent on the bank loans, their prices fell down. They faced steep falls from 100 to zero. And many companies went bankrupt. So, if you analyze the causes, you will find that the basic cause of this financial crisis was interest. Secondly, sale of debts, which has been prohibited by the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Thirdly, this was caused by sale without possession. In stock markets, you sell shares although you do not own them. So short sales. And fourthly, derivative. These were the four major causes of this financial crisis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited for us interest, prohibited for us the sale of debt, prohibited for us every short sale and blank sale, and likewise it has Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited for us any type of derivative. So if the economy would have been following these principles, it would never have faced such a huge crisis that it is facing today. That is why I am saying that these principles are for the betterment of humanity, not for the betterment of a particular society. So, alhamdulillah, we have these principles, and the gist of the matter is that every financing according to Sharia must be backed by assets, must be backed by real assets, real economy, which gives rise to real economy. And if these principles are followed, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will serve the whole humanity. And this is a gist of these principles. Now comes the question, we are living in a society, in the whole world, in every country, we are living in a society that is prevailed by the market economy or by the capital system. How to get rid of these prohibited activities, for example, interest and gambling and gharar and qimar and short sale, etc. So my humble request would be that every Muslim is duty bound by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he must know the real instructions given by the Holy Quran and Sunnah in the field he is practicing in. You have perhaps heard the famous hadith, "Talabul ilmi farizatun ala kulli Muslim." That is, to acquire knowledge is an obligation, or proper alim, and must study all the Islamic subjects. No, it means that every Muslim is duty bound to know about the field, his own particular field, what is halal and what is haram. If you are a businessman, you must know what is halal business, what is haram business. If you are an employee, you must know what are the halal practices for an employee and what are the haram practices from an employee. If you are a agriculturist, you must know that what kind of farming is allowed in Islam, what kind of farming is not allowed. So therefore, every businessman is under an obligation, religious obligation, to study and to know what is halal and what is haram with regard to his particular business that he undertakes. So therefore, I would humbly request that every Muslim must know about this and must know these rules and principles, for which I think many books in every language are available, as some books are referred to by my brother, and they are available both in English and Urdu and Arabic, all these languages. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with a guidance that this world in which we are living today, this world is not the be-all and end-all of the human being. We don't know when we will expire and when we would leave this world. So every business activity must be linked with the search of the betterment of hereafter, of akhirah. وَمْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ Quran says, the Holy Quran says, وَبْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. It means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, whatever wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, you must seek the betterment of akhirah through that very wealth. Because it is the very wealth that gives you the eternal life in the hereafter. If you use that particular wealth in accordance with the dictates of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that very wealth will bring you the betterment of the hereafter. I used to say that if you read a If you take a dollar note, which is issued by the Reserve Fund of America, so you will find that every dollar note has a sentence, "In God we trust." In God we trust. Every dollar has this sentence. So I said there in Switzerland that although every dollar has this word, "In God we trust," but when it comes to earn dollars, and when it comes to use dollars and consume dollars, then God is never consulted. God is taken totally out of the picture. You know, it is only an admission on the note that in we God. If you trust in God, can you please turn to God? How he orders you to earn dollars and how he orders you to spend dollars. So, but God is never trusted about it. So when they published my article, a summary of my article, they gave a picture of the dollar note and they highlighted, "In God we trust." So therefore our Islamic teachings are not meant only for this mundane world. They also also aim at bringing betterment in the life they we have to face after we die. We don't know when we die. Nobody knows. Every person knows that he has to die sometime. There are many disputed issues in the world, but the fact that is not disputed even by atheists is that one has to die. And all the human beings are unanimous on that. They are also unanimous on the point that nobody knows when he will die. So, and then what will happen after death? Messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to human beings to tell them that what is going to happen after they die. And they have declared it in so many words in the Holy Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore we must keep in our mind that this wealth that we are earning, that we are spending, this will bring either Jannah to us or Dozakh to us, hell to us. So therefore everybody should be mindful of this very fact and to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us in our commercial activities. With these few words, I seek your permission. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. Wa akhiru da'wana, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.